Blog Talk Radio.
Because God's trying to tell you I'm going to do it this week. Run, mama, run. That's it. Prophesy. I got to preach. I ain't got a whole lot of time. But will you push your name and tell him God said he's going to do it this week? God said he's going to do it this week. Okay, y'all. Come on, get your Bible. Let's turn our attention to the screen. I don't have a whole lot of time. I ain't got a whole lot of time, y'all know. You taking too long. If you was going to shout, you should have shouted by now. Come on. Come on, Tyra Hill. I got to get out of here. I got 18 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. I just got a conviction in my spirit that the longer it takes me to praise, the longer it takes God to do what I asked him to do. But if I praise God quick, I believe God gonna respond. See, some of y'all still waiting on your flesh. You still waiting on your mind to catch up with your spirit. You got to make your... You got to call your mind subject to your spirit. I don't care what it looks like. The man of God said it's gonna happen this week. If God didn't want you to hear it, he'd have let you overslap. You in the room because God wanted you to hear me say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this week. Come on. I'm going to do it this week. Talking, that's okay. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing then. Just stand up in here and look cute. Don't say nothing. You're going to have to wait another week, but I'm decreeing and declaring what I've been waiting on God to do, it's going to happen. Push your neighbor, tell him you better say something and get off my road. You better say something. God's going to do it. Come on. Hebrews. Y'all so rebellious. Sit down, please. Sit down. Come on, tell your friend to sit down. You didn't wait it this long. You can wait another week. You can wait to June. You didn't wait it this long. Just you ain't in no rush. You ain't. I got some demons I need God to kill this week. I got some devils I need God to deal with. Somebody said before I leave this building, I got some... Y'all all in my time, but I need somebody to scream like by the time you get in your car. Y'all excuse me, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody praise him. I feel that in my spirit. By the time you get in your car, whatever you want to do, Jesus. However you want to fix it, Lord. Yeah. Come on, let's go. I feel churchy and I got to preach some of y'all. Some of y'all don't need a breakthrough. You just came to get a word. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it's about 326 of y'all that say, I need a breakthrough. come on, get your Bible. You need a... Get your Bible.
Let your power fall. When your name is called, prove the doubters wrong. God, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief so I can tell all my friends,
you've won again.
That you have won again. Let your power flow. That you have won again. Anybody need the power in here?
We need it.
Come on, let your power fall. When your name is called, prove the doubt of every time they talked about me, every time they lied on me, God, you're mighty. This is what I need you to do.
Fight this battle.
Fight this battle for me. Anybody needing the price of battles in here? This is what I need you to do, Lord.
Fight this battle.
I can't do it by myself.
For me.
Yeah, yes. I need you to do it. Fight this battle. That you have won again.
You won.
You have won.
Thank
you. You did it again.
Yeah.
I said you have won again.
You have won again.
You brought me up so many times. Never lost a patient.
You're a healer.
I didn't even know how I was gonna make it. But oh,
you pulled me through.
You're a winner. Time after time. Yeah. My heart could do it.
give him glory. Glory. Anybody know he's a winner?
Yeah.
Anybody know he's a winner?
Yeah.
belongs to God. This is how we have church in the Pentecostal church. Belongs to God. That's why I don't get upset when people say I'm not going to make it. Because power belongs to God. High five somebody and tell them, don't you let nobody tell you you can't make it. Because power belongs to God.
Amen, amen, amen. Power belongs to God. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am your host, none other than Apostle Daniel Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis, and we're just excited about what God has to say on this morning through the broadcast. Listen, guys, we will have with us none other than our friend, our brother, none other than Pastor Cedric Williams will be with us shortly. To bring the word of God with to us. Listen, guys, we're just fresh off of our Resurrection Sunday, and I hope that you had a fantastic time. I hope that that the Lord showed up and showed out at your service on yesterday. I tell you, we had a time at the Abba House on yesterday. I'm just excited about being able to share God's word, myself and Pastor Kashima. We just love what we do. We love what we do in ministry. We love what we do in our community. We love what we do on the broadcast. And we thank you guys so very much for your continued support, your continued being a part of what we do here as we go forth and do what God has us to do. And as always, guys, you know how we do before we get started. We go into our effectual, fervent word of prayer, and then we're going to go into our scripture on this morning. And so lend me your hearts up for a moment as we pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we take this broadcast and we lift it up to you today. Father, we say do with it what you will please. Father, we don't want to have any hand in it. God, we want this to be a God-designed, a God-given, and a God-turned situation on this morning, God. God, let the word be spoken today, God, to fall on the ears of those who need to hear. God, let it be a seed in their hearts, a seed in their minds, and a seed, God, in their spirit, God, to encourage and power and strengthen them, God, for them to be able to stand and withstand in that moment, God. God, we pray for every man that's under the sound of our voice on this morning. God, encourage them today, strengthen them today, empower them today. God, we thank you right now, God, for all things being made well, not only just in their lives, God, but for their lives, in the mighty and rich name of Jesus, God, is our prayer. And the body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. Listen, guys, listen. We have our scripture on this morning, and our scripture will be found in 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. Very simple passage of scripture, but very powerful. It simply says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity is not envious. Charity is not wantful of itself and not puffed up. Again, that was 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. And the King James Version read like this. It says, love suffered long and love does not envy. Love does not persecute itself. Love is not puffed up. Amen. So remember, when we love, we got to love with our whole hearts, love with our whole everything. Our goal, people of God, is simply this: for us to love beyond a shadow of a doubt, we have to learn how to love even in the spite of the hurt. We got to learn how to love even in the spite of the distress and the pain and the things that have been said and been done. Love has to be a massaging of your own heart and to look at yourself, and you can say to yourself, you know what, I can overcome whatever it is that they've done. I've overcome whatever they've said. You know, the Bible, when we were younger, and I was my first experience in church in our cafeteria at our church. They had a sign over the door right in the cafeteria that simply said, love is action. Love is action. Love is action. What does your love action look like? What does your love action look like? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? Because love is love. And in everything that we do, and everywhere that we go, and every portion of what we do, it is all about our love for us, for others. And we thank God for that opportunity to love. Amen. So remember, love is an action thing. Love is an action thing. Amen. Amen. So listen, I want to make sure we also acknowledge all of you great, all of our great countries that are tuned in with us on this morning. And we thank you guys. We thank you so very much for your continued support. And it seemed like every other week we're picking up another country. And we thank you guys. We thank you. That lets us know that we're reaching out to not just our dynamics, but we're reaching beyond that. And we thank God for that. We thank God for being able to reach out and reach beyond our dynamics and to touch those across the world with this message of love and a message of power, message of restoration, message of strength. We thank God for being able to speak life into those who need life to be spoken into them, strength into those who need strength spoken into them. So we thank God for that opportunity and chance to come and to share this great gospel of Jesus Christ with all of you. And we thank God for that. We thank God for that. So listen, those great countries, we have the United States, we have Canada, we have Brazil, we have Ghana, we have Guyana, we have Nigeria, we have Kenya, we have Zimbabwe, we have South Africa, we have Jamaica, we have Saudi Arabia, we have China, we have Hong Kong, we have Germany, we have Bulgaria, we have Russia, we have Mexico, we have the United Kingdom, we have Paris, France, we have Japan, we have South Korea, we have Israel, we have India, and we have Portugal. And we thank God for all of you guys that are connected to us and with us on today. It is a blessing, such a blessing, to have you guys be a part of what we do. So we bless the name of the Lord for you. We thank God for you. And we ask that you continue to be a part of what we do here at the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Amen? Amen. So listen, guys, we're going to take a quick musical break, and we'll be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Let your power fall.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church
say amen.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Let the church say amen.
To what his plans are.
Let the church
to what his word says.
Amen.
God has spoken.
God
today.
Amen.
No matter how you're feeling,
amen,
or how your world is reeling,
amen,
battle on through the night,
amen,
'cause you're gonna win the fight,
amen,
even in the valley,
amen,
or standing at your Red Sea,
amen,
continue to say,
amen,
'cause your help is on the way. Let the church say, oh, lift your hands wherever you are and let the church.
About what's going to happen right here on the World Our Gospel Connection. Man, we have our friend, our brother, none other than Pastor Cedric Williams with us on this morning. So listen, guys, I cannot hold the man of God any longer. I cannot hold him any longer. So ladies and gentlemen, I present to some and introduce to others none other than Pastor Cedric Williams. Man of God, you have the floor.
Praise God, everybody. Man, look, I am excited and elated to be a part of this movement of God for men. I'm trying to hold myself, Apostle Douglas, man, but it's just something about when men can come together on one accord. And I just want to say, man, to God be the glory for the things that he's done, and I speak God's continuous blessings on you, sir. To God our Father, to God our Son, and to God, the Holy Spirit, we give reverence and we give glory to him on this day. To my pastor, Apostle Kendra J. Walker, to my leading lady, Prophetess Melani Walker, and last but definitely not least, to my beautiful and anointed and amazing wife, Minister Emeril Mack Williams. I give God and thank God for this is my circle. That keeps me lifted, that covers me, and I could not be what it is today if it was not for them. Unless I hold you guys too long, and also give reverence to my chief apostle, Mark Robinson, Senior. Amen. Thank God for his covering, his leadership. But God has given me, he has literally shifted. God has literally shifted the message that he wants us to hear, my God, as men today. And he took me to Matthew 7, verses 24 and 26. Amen. A very familiar passage of scripture. I promise you I won't be before you long, but I have to share my conviction and my heart with the men on this morning. I pray that our ears are open on this morning. I pray that our hearts are open on this morning. I pray that our minds are open to receive what God has for us on this morning. So here are the words that you will find recorded in Matthew 7, verses 24 and 26. Verse 24, and the Bible declares, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 26 says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Now, just for a little moment on this morning, I want to talk about a wise man. I want to talk just a little bit about a wise man. Edward Mote, in 1834, he penned this hymn by saying, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He goes on to say, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So as God takes us through this parable, he wants to illustrate the importance of building one's life on obedience to the teachings and examples of Jesus. So as men, hear me good on this morning, as men, now isn't the time to be foolish, but it's definitely time that we become wise. I'm going to say that one more time. Now isn't the time to be foolish, but it's definitely time that we become wise. Why? Because you see, to be foolish means, or to be a foolish man means, that we're lacking good sense, or we're lacking good judgment. It's time that we all not just man up here this morning, but we wise up in our thinking, that we don't just man up, but we wise up in our dealings. Why? Because wise, the definition of wise means that that you're having, or you're showing experience, or you're knowledgeable, or you have good judgment, or you have knowledge in a specific subject. What is God saying us to us as men this morning is that as you look around in our communities, when you look around, yes, even in the church, when you look around, even on social media, you can see the difference between a foolish man and a wise man. Why? Because when you go on TikTok and you see, my wife and I, we love watching TikTok, but there's some things on TikTok that is not very wise. There's some things on TikTok that's very foolish. And why? Because you have young people that look at TikTok and they're looking for at examples of things that should not be done, but yet instead they find themselves doing it. So we as men of our homes, we as men as leaders in our community, we as men in the churches need to take back the authority. We need to take back and get in position so that we can be an example to the not the next generation, because if we don't deal with the now generation, there won't be no next. I just said something right now. I don't have no help here this morning. God says you're worrying about the next, but he says as men, as wise men, we need to be concerned about our now. Now, I'll rewind and say it again. God says that we as men have to be wise and not be concerned about the next, but we need to be more concerned about our now. He says, because if you don't deal with the issues now, if you don't deal with the conditions now, if you don't address what's going wrong now, there won't be no next. And that's what the devil wants. The devil says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why? He's talking to the men. He wants to take the head off, because the devil understands if I can take the head off, the body will follow. What are you saying, Coach Sam? What I'm saying is God is calling an audible. My God, he's shifting on this morning. He says, I'm shifting the minds of men. I'm shifting the hearts of men to move from being foolish in your dealings and foolish in your thinking. He says, I need you to become more wise. Why must we become more wise? Well, again, the definition already told us. The definition says to be foolish means that we're lacking good sense and we're lacking good judgment. Now, let's just pause for a second and let's make sense of the text, because I'm in the text, but I want you to see what God is saying when he says lacking good sense and judgment and how we make it relevant to where we are today. You watch the news, don't you? I was just telling my wife the other day, I can't tell you the last time I've seen a man read a newspaper, because technology has taken it away from us where we don't have to tangibly read newspapers, but we can log into blogs and we can watch postings on social media. But I can't tell you the last time I've seen a man legs with a cup of coffee and read the newspaper to stay a current of what the things are going on around the world and in the local area. So what God has done, he has literally taken his word and allow it to illuminate and open our eyes to see exactly what's going on in our world today as a relates to men. And I don't know about you, but there's some need for some help for our men today. Divorce rates are on the most high. Crime rates are on the most high. Drug abuse is on a rampage still. And alcohol, it's just everything is out of control. But God said if you just hear these words. Yes, Jesus was talking at the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, therefore, if everyone who hears these words, and watch this, this is how God makes it relevant. See, we're so busy trying to get the man to the building that we call the church versus those of us that are and know that we are the church. We should be in the mode of discipleship so that when we cross the path of a man, he may not never make it to the brick nor the mar that we call the church that's consecrated for worship and praise. But guess what? God says, I'm sending you because you're the one that has heard my words. And a man who hears my words and puts them into practice, which means now we're talking about evangelizing. God says that I have not saved you, man of God. He says this morning, I'm stripping us of our titles. He says, I'm stripping us of our credentials. I need a man that's going to man up and stand up and wise up and say, you know what? I'm going to lay down my titles. I'm going to lay down my credentials. I'm going to lay down everything that puffs me up, and I'm going to begin to lift Jesus up. I'm going to put into practice the word of God so that when I cross that man at the barbershop, when I cross that man at the gas station, when I cross that man wherever it is, at Walmart or Sam's or wherever, he says, I want you to put my word into practice. I want you to share unto him the love of my word so that the word as a seed can penetrate the soils of his heart. Oh, let me rewind. Before you even go out and call yourself to put into practice, God says you're going to have to pray. Why must we see? I'm a football and basketball coach by nature. And before we even start practicing, and before we even go on the game field, we know how to huddle, number one, as coaches. We know how to huddle together, yes, as players, as a team. And we pray before we go out and do what we know we can do. God says if we're going to man up, if we're going to wise up, he says you're going to have a prayer life. He says many of us as men, we don't even have a prayer life enough to even go beyond the ceilings of our apartments or our homes that we stay in. He says, I need to get you to a place. I need to get you into a position where you are praying unto me before you even go clock into your job. He says, it'll be wise that you heard. God did not save us as men to sit, but he saved us to go out and serve. I'm still talking about a wise man, because see, a wise man does not just show up and hear the word of God preached, but a wise man is able to take the word of God that's being preached, and he goes back home and he becomes a student of the word that he just received through the preached word. You ain't gonna follow me this morning. God says, I need a man of God that's not just gonna show up just to hear. He said, but I need a man of God that's gonna rise up, that's going to man up, that be able to put in practice what he's heard. In other words, the Bible says, be not just hearers of the word, but for what? Be doers of the word. We're living in a time where people, well, since we're talking about men this morning, we're living in a time where men is just comfortable with just hearing the word of God, but they're not willing to apply the word of God. I'm going to say that one more time. We're living in a time where the man of God is more concerned about just hearing the word of God versus applying the word of God. My God's here today. He says, if you're going to be a wise man and if you're going to build something, he says, you're going to have to first know how to come to me and receive unto me from me so that you can apply it into your life. So here we are. As a wise man, the parable instructions, and I pray that you guys can hear me on this morning. The parable illustrates the importance of building one's life on obedience to the teachings and the example of Jesus. Now, let me just stop right there. Who's your example? And I know I'm coming straight to you because, watch this, growing up as young men, see, I came up in a single-parent home with my mother and my grandmother, my sister. They raised me. Daddy was there, but he wasn't there, okay? So, in other words, the example of a man that I had to look up to were my football coaches, my school bus drivers, my choir directors, my male teachers, my uncles. Those are the examples that I had to follow because I didn't have a father physically in the presence that can set the example that I needed to learn from. Follow me, if you will. What are you saying, Coach said on this? This is what Pastor Coach said is saying on to us this morning. He says many of the things that we're seeing as men is because we had young men that are now adult men that didn't have the right example to look and follow. So what Jesus is saying on this morning, he says that allow him to be our example to follow because he realizes that we as men can fall short. What are you saying? Sometimes things don't work out between mom and daddy, so daddy won't necessarily be there physically the way he wants to be. But I will tell you the truth on this morning, as God is my witness, I always told, even when I taught school to my students, and I had to minister before I can teach any arithmetic, I had to minister and pray with my students to let them know that I understand your house situation. I understand, young man, that your dad is. I understand that your uncle has led you the wrong way and having you think that life is this way, but here it is, you're finding yourself in so much trouble because you don't have the right example to live by. But I share with them that even though my earthly daddy was not presently with me on a consistent basis, I have a father in heaven that was with me and still with me today, even at the age of 41, I thank God that I have no excuses to make because God says, I am your father. And I don't know what man I'm talking to on today, that you are now an adult man, but you're still in the mindset of that little boy that still remember that daddy wasn't there. Or you may have had a daddy that was there, but he was still MIA. He was missing in action because why? He didn't have an example. Don't you see the generation a curse that needs to be broken? And God says here on today that through my word, if you just apply my word, he says, if you just take the words that you hear preached and taught, whether you're watching it by virtual, if you're in person, he said, if you just take that word, guess what? The very thing that you missed out on as a young man, and now that you're an adult man, he says, I can restore the time and I can allow you to be what you didn't have. Come on and talk back to me this morning. God says, I'm in the business of restoring my men. He says, you are valuable. You are not what you've done. You're not where you've been. He says, you are valuable to my team. And I don't know about you, but it's something about when a coach can show you that you're valuable. It does something to you on the inside. It makes you want to run that last lap a little bit harder. It makes you want to press that 315-pound on the bench bar one more rep. Why? Because you have somebody that's believing in you. And I come by here on this morning, let you know as your brother in Christ, not as a pastor, not as a coach, as your brother in Christ, that I believe in you because you are valuable to the team. You know why you're still valuable? You know why you're still good to God? That's why you're still here. If we would be honest this morning, if we would have a moment to testify, many of us that are listening now and may even listen by replay, you know how valuable you are because you're still here, because you should have been gone a long time ago. The devil's been on your trail since you've been born into this world. But God has a purpose and a plan for your life as a man. I don't care about your past. I'm concerned about your future. And in this moment, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every man, every boy that should hear this message. I need you to know the word of God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all become new. I'm still talking about a wise man. Here it is. God says he needs for us to be wise in our dealings. He needs us to have good judgment. He needs us to be able to show that we know, like my wife said, you got to know that you know. You can't act like you don't know. You can't be acting brand new. And that's what I see most of the time. I see men who don't mind following their spouses and their children to church, but then when they get out of church, they act like they don't know. They act like they didn't hear what they just heard come through the preacher's mouth. But God says, in this season of your life, you cannot afford to act like you don't know. You're going to have to get into a place to where you begin to live your life like you know the word that you've received. Why? Because it's detrimental not only to you, but to everybody that's connected to you. It is wise that we put into practice the word of God that God has spoken over your life and that what he's speaking now even in your life. I told you Jesus was talking to the people. He was teaching and preaching the word of God to them on the mount. And he says, watch this. Jesus didn't have no problem talking and teaching the word of God. But guess what? What's good is the teaching of God's word if you're not going to apply the word? What good is it for us as men, just to show up to the church just to say I showed up? It makes no sense because it's not going to do the thing for you. What good is for us as men to have a box full of tools and talking about that you're going to build, but you don't have no game, you don't have no blueprint. You don't have no sense of saying, first of all, what you want to build, and with the time frame that you're going to start building. I come by here to tell you on this morning that there's some man that's on this call, you are delaying what the very thing God has already told you to start building. He says you worried about this and that. He says, but guess what? I've already equipped you. I've already empowered you. I've already given you everything you need for you to build, but you're sitting on it. So God says on this morning that it's time that we get up off the couch of life and we begin to put our feet and hands to work and begin to build the very thing that God has given us as an assignment. Your assignment may be that you build your family. Be that change that you need to be for your family. Your assignment to build may be the community. Your family may stay in a community where it's very dark and gloomy and the light of God is nowhere near. But guess what? The light of God is inside of you, man of God. So guess what? You may not have a church building to have a service, but guess what? You got a backyard. You got a front yard. You got I don't know if they have city parks where you are. God says, I've provided the platform that you need. I just need you to get up off your blessed assurance and open your mouth and begin to share the word of God that you receive, because the Bible says to do that makes you a wise man and not a foolish man. We can no longer sit back in the barbershop and talk about, man, look at all them young Negroes out there shooting and killing one another, but you ain't out there. You ain't out there sharing the word of God with them. So you just as guilty as they are. God says, no, I need for you to stop talking about it and start being about it. He says, I don't want you to just man up. He says, I need you to wise up. So I don't know who God is. He's talking to me as well. So as he talked to me and through me to us, he's challenging all of us this morning here on this call that he does not just want us as men to man up. Yeah, like put your chest out, like you just finished doing 50 push-ups. Yeah, you want to flex and show your biceps. And he says, no, flex time is, it ain't no more time for flexing, because one thing I can tell you about somebody that's flexing muscle doesn't mean they have no strength, because I've seen guys who's big as a Incredible Hulk, and I've seen guys as small as a broomstick knock that man out I'm talking about knock them cool out. And you're like, man, how is this little guy able to knock this swole guy out with such? That's because it's not about how much you flex. It's about your faith on today. So guess what? Though you may not have all the physical muscle, I know God is talking to us as men this morning because he's calling our focus to come off of stop measuring you, who you are and what you need to do for God based on what you see the next man do and what the next man is not doing. He says, guess what? Because guess what? The scripture this morning is talking about a wise man versus a foolish man and how they build their home. God says, in order for you to do what I'm needing you to do as men, whether it be for your household, whether it be for your community, whether it be for your church, whether it be on your job, he says, guess what? The difference is, are you going to be wise in how you do it, or are you going to be foolish? Because both the wise and foolish man was sitting and heard the same message. But the difference between the two is that the wise man took what he heard and he became a doer. But the foolish man said, you know what, man, I don't need to hear that message. He just showed up and heard, but he didn't apply. So what are you saying? God says, I want you to shift your focus and stop being concerned about the next man. He says, stop measuring even your finances to the next man. He says, watch this. He says, you don't know what that next man had to do to get what he got. So it wouldn't even be wise to follow that. He says, but what would be wise is for you to obey what I'm telling you. He says, because obedience is greater than sacrifice. And he says, guess what? When you obey me, he says, you won't even have to work as hard as you're working. He says, because I'm going to make provision for the vision that I've given you. I don't know who God is talking to this morning. He says, because what you're desiring to do is not wise. It's foolish because guess what? It's going to take you out of position. I know I'm talking right this morning. He says, because here is you're trying to measure your success by the next man, he says, but you're going to put yourself in a predicament that's going to take you away and take you out of position. It's going to take you away from spending time with your spouse. It's going to take time. It's going to take you out of position from spending time with your children if you have any. It's going to take you away. It's going to take time away from you being obedient to doing what God has called you to even do for the kingdom of God. He says, stop measuring your success or in what you need to do based on what you see the next man doing and not doing. And he says, tune your ears into me, and while you're tuning your ears, make sure you're putting your heart in place so that I can put you in position so that you don't even have to work as hard as you're working. There are men on this call that is working day in and day out and don't even have enough time to spend time with his own family. God, that is of the devil. God says, I need my men to get back in position with their families because why? We are the priest of our home. We are the protector of our home. We are the provider of our home. And guess what? We can't be none of that if we're out of position. And that's what happens when we just show up and we hear the word of God preach and we don't apply. It takes us out of position. And then we wonder why. And when it takes us out of position, I'm almost done. When you take the man of God out of position from his family, when you take the man of God out of position out of the community, when you literally overall take the man of God out of position, you're literally taking God out of position. And when you take the man of God out of position and you take the God from in the man out of position, then guess what? That uncovers and exposes everything that the enemy can come to attack. But I thank God this morning for the word of God that has come by and say that I don't want you just to man up. I need you to wise up. Because if you're not wise, then the opposite of wise is foolish. And this is not the time for us to be foolish. Amen. I'm almost done. The Bible says in James 1:22, it says, be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. So what God is saying this morning is how many of us are doing, which is applying, carrying out, or putting into practice the very word of God. It's not wise. It's not wise to just be hearers of the word, but it's wise to be doers of the word. So as I conclude this message, I need for us as men to take a self-examination of where we are as it relates to being wise in our doings. Take a self-examination of where we are as being wise in our personal lives and if we're being wise in our finances. But it, it, the last the last thing I want us to do, and I need us to really be honest, because the Bible says when God created man, he did not become a living soul until he breathed into the nostrils of man, and then he became a living soul. What are you saying, Ted? What I'm saying to all of us this morning is that the word of God, when it is preached and taught and when it's read and understood and applied, is just like God breathing into the very, my God, today. We have men in families. We have men in marriages. We have men in relationships. We have men in business accounts. We have men in our communities. We have men in our churches. We have men in the White House. We have men in the church house. We have men in government. We have men across this world that are suffocating because they can't breathe. And the reason why they cannot breathe is because they're not even connected to the Word of God. God just told you that he's able to breathe into the very nostrils of us when we read his word and we apply his word. A man can have all the strength in the world. He can be the smartest man in the world. But if a man can't breathe, he's no good, and he's going down for the count. I come by to tell you as your coach in the spirit that we need to get our men to the word of God. Why? Because they are about to suffocate unto death. And when they suffocate and die unto death, guess what? Everything and everybody's connected to them is going to die as well. And I come to speak against that very curse against our men. We shall live and not die. Every man shall live and not die. Why? Because the word of God has come by to breathe. Can these dry bones of men live? Yes, God, they will. And yes, God, they can. Because why? We're going to become wise in our dealings. We'll become wise in our thinking. We're going to become wise in how we handle the very things that God has entrusted to us. Because we don't want to die on the clock. So we can't continue to gain and retain a lot of knowledge but not apply that which we know to our very lives. Because, see, God is not only helping our focus, but he's also changing our mindset. As I go to a close, God says, not only am I helping you with your focus, he says, but I am literally changing the man, the mindset of man. He says in Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I don't know about you, but from myself to you, I know every man can stand the need of renewing our mind, because things are not as what we see. Oh, my God, I'm going to say it again. Things are not as what we see, but we can't help but see what we see because our mindset is what it is. But God says you can't continue with that type of it is what it is type of attitude. No, it can't be it is what it is. It has to be what God says it is. I'm going to say that again. We can no longer continue with the mindset as a man to say, well, man, it is what it is. No, we have to begin to declare and decree that it is what God says it is. So what, I don't know what it is that you're looking at. I don't know what it is that you're facing, but God says on the day that I'm renewing your mind so that you can see it the way and now how you're seeing it. He says, because it's just like when I asked Moses, which is another man in the word of God. He says, Moses, what's in your hand? And in the mindset of Moses, he said, man, it's, God, it's a stick. Why are you asking me what this is? You know what it is. Why are you asking me what it is that I say it is? And Moses said, man, it's a stick. But because God already knew what it was, sometimes God will ask us a question that he already knows the answer to. But when he asks us the question, he's really asking to see where our mindset is. How do we view it? What is our perception of it? See, in the perception and the viewpoint of Moses, it was just a stick. It was just a rod. But in the eyesight of God, it was the very thing that he used, that when he stretched forth his hand and he caused the Red Sea to open up like Interstate East I-10. He says, you have no idea, man of God that's on this call, that the very thing that you need to change your situation is in your hands. He says, but the reason why it cannot work and has not worked is because you're looking at it from a different perspective. He says, you're looking at, I can't do this because it's not enough. He says, but you have to remind yourself that you serve a God that's more than enough. He says, yes, in your eyes, it may only look like two fish and five barley loaves, but in the eyesight of God and in the hands of God, it's literally a buffet with some leftovers. My God, I'm helping the man of God on this morning. He says, you're viewing it as a small thing when in the eyesight of God is actually bigger than what you can handle. He says, but you'll never be able to use it effectively and in the power in which I've given it because you haven't even shifted or changed your mindset. He said, your environment and your atmosphere at home, your environment and your atmosphere that you see in your community, the environment and the atmosphere, I'm still talking about a wise man. A wise man is cautious and careful to make sure that his mindset is of God and not of himself. His mindset is to say, God, for Christ I live, for Christ I die. The mindset of a wise man is say, you know what, God, if all I say is, Lord, help, I know you're able to reach down from heaven and pull me out of my sinking situation. But a foolish man is one who thinks that he already knows it all. He thinks that his intellect can help him out of his situation. He thinks that his finances is going to help him. He thinks that his connections, yeah, who he knows is going to help him get out of his situation. And that's why when he don't have enough sense to know that he's sinking in his situation, so he don't even have enough sense to open his mouth and say, Lord, I need you to save me. So guess what? He'll sink in his situation, and then guess what? When he goes down, everybody and everything that's connected to him will go down with him. But I come to serve notice to the enemy on today that we will not only man up, but we will wise up, that even when we as men are facing any circumstances, any conditions that's beyond our physical control, we're going to learn how to open our mouth and say, Lord, save me. What are you saying, Coach said? Well, we can learn a lot from Peter. I'm going home when I tell you this, Apostle Douglas. We can learn a lot from Peter, even though the stepping out of Peter walking on water was from a place of doubt. You can go back and do your study on that, because everybody want to preach about the fact that he walked on water, but nobody want to look in depth in the scripture and understand that when he said, Lord, if it's thou, bid me, that was a point of doubt. So guess what? He stepped out on doubt, but at the same time, we can learn something from Peter. And what can we learn from Peter? We can learn that as long as we stay in the ship of our fear and doubt, we'll never be able to do the impossible. But when we allow ourselves to allow our faith to override, to trump our fear, we're able to step out and away from the ship that's keeping us from doing what God said or what we think that we can do in ourselves. It will allow us to do the impossible. Why? Because Peter would go down in history to be the only disciple that was able to walk on water. I don't think you hear me this morning. God has sent me by to let you know that you may be the only man in your family that's going to do what has never been done. Why? Because you are in a place to, you're doubting, but your doubt is from a different place. Because you still have faith enough to step out. I don't know who God is talking to this morning. He says, even in your doubt, because let's be real, sometimes we, as anointed as we are and Holy Ghost filled as we are, we do sometimes allow doubt as men, because we're not superheroes. So we do have the human side of us that the doubt will rise up. But at the same time, we know that when doubt arises, we know how to activate our faith. And that's what Peter did. And that's what I'm concluding when I say this, that we have to come to a place, men of God, that we're not just man up, but we open in our mouths, because we're going to be wise that when we see that we're in a sinking situation. See, Peter, while his eyes was focused on Christ and not the crisis that was going on around him, yes, the winds that were blowing, the waves that was beating up against the ship, the storm that was going on, yes, that's circumstances. Those are symbolic of situations that sometimes they can take our focus off of Jesus. But I told you, we can learn something from Peter today. He says, if you just focus your eyes on Christ and not your crisis, not only will you man up, but you're going to wise up, because now you're walking by faith and not by sight. He says, but be careful, because in the world that you live in,
The minute that you're walking by faith, you also can slip and start to walk in fear. I didn't make it up. It's right there in the scripture text. The moment that you stop walking in faith is in fear is because of your focus, not because of your belief. But it'd be because of, oh, God, that's a fresh download right there. I've never heard God say that before. He says the moment that you stop walking in faith and slip up and start walking in fear, it's because of your focus. I didn't make it up. Peter shows us best in the scripture text. The minute that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, the Bible said, what, men of God, that he began to do what? Sink. But at the same time, I told you, we can still have fear and doubt in our heart, but have the faith enough to open our mouth to realize that I'm in a situation and I'm going down and I need some power that's higher than mine to pull me up out of here. My finances, my money is funny, my change is strange, and Lord knows my credit won't get it. So I have to call on the name of Jesus and say, Lord, save me. What we learn from Peter is that even in the midst of our anointing, and even in the midst of being Holy Ghost filled, we have to learn to still open our mouth and say, Lord, it will be wise to open our mouth and say, Lord, save me. So in the name of Jesus, I don't know who God is talking. I know he's talking this morning, but I know he's specifically and direct speaking to someone on this morning to say that I'm not concerned about you manning up. I'm more concerned about you wising up. Yes, God. Because, see, as young men, when we were growing up and we had those uncles that was, you know, drinking the Boone's Farm and the MD 2020 and, you know, and some of the hard stuff. Yeah, old English, I ain't none of that. But it was something about uncles say, come on, get some of this, boy. It's going to put some hair on your chest. It made you feel like you was grown because you was doing grown people stuff. You were more concerned, but see, you were going about it the wrong way. So while you was more concerned about putting hair on your chest, guess what? When you put that hot liquor and it's going down your, you did not know at the moment the effects of what that alcohol was going to do, going down into your system. So God says, I don't want us as men on this morning to be so caught up and concerned with what's going on the outside. He says, I'm more concerned about addressing on the inside. He says, man sees the outer, but he, God, that we're talking about this morning, he says, I know the heart of man. So as we all be praying for the heart of man on this morning, in the name of Jesus, God, thank you right now for this time and moment that you have allotted us to come together as men. Father, I pray right now, even as the breath that you've given us, that we are a living soul. Father, I pray for the heart of man on this morning, God. We have heart and feelings just like the woman does. But oftentimes we don't want to talk about what our heart is feeling and what we're feeling emotionally and mentally, so we've learned how to hold it all in. So, Father, I pray, God, that we break that curse off of every man in the name of Jesus, that he finds a person or he finds a place where he can release, that he can share his most vulnerable, his most intimate struggles with you, oh God, Father, because you don't judge us, God. And Father, I pray that we can get to a place that we have to steal away to our man cave, or we have to steal away to our patio or our back porch, or Lord, if we just have to go sit in our car, God. But I pray on today, God, that we get to a place, we get to a position where we can cry out, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I feel the heaviness of the man, Father. I pray right now that you lift that heavy burden in the name of Jesus, God. He is not his father, but he is your child, God. I thank you right now that the mistakes that he's made, God, I pray, God, that you say when we confess with you, God, we come to you real, God, that you are faithful and that you're just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unright. God, I thank you, God, that you're not just manning us up, God. God, you're not just wising us up, God, but most importantly, God, you're cleaning us up, God. I thank you, God, that you can wash us better than any ivory soap, God. You can clean us better than any detergent that we wash our clothes with, God. We thank you, God, that your blood is more powerful than anything that we can ever put our minds to. I thank you right now that not only restoration, God, but a renewing spirit, God, is found in the hearts of your sons on this morning. I thank you right now, God. God, that we are wise enough, God. We're going to now from now on, God, we're not just going to just hear your word, God, but we're going to apply. We're going to put into practice your word, God. Father God, we're going to obey, God, that unctioning, God, that you suck. God, it's not just no little voice in our head, God. God, that's you speaking to your creation. So I pray in the name of Jesus that every man knee will bow. I pray, God, that every man's tongue will confess that you are Lord and that you are our Redeemer. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus, God, that we all pray. And the saints of God say amen and amen. Again, I want to say thank God to my new brother from another mother, Apostle Douglas, for this opportunity to share my heart and my conviction and the word of God to the men of God on this morning. Again, I thank God for my very own pastor because this connection would have not been if it wasn't for my covering. So I thank God for my covering through my pastor, Apostle Kendrick J. Walker of Visible Kingdom Empowerment Church of Houston, Texas. At this moment, like I say, my wife and I, we are from Louisiana. We have our own ministry that is being launched, the birthing place of Sinlaw coming soon to a heart and community near you. Keep your eyes and ears tuned in to all the social platforms that we have before us. We have so many things that God has blessed us with to be a blessing to the community. My wife has her ministry, But For a Moment, every Monday morning that you can find her on for the Ministry of Women, Amen. She has the Cross Note Support Group, which is her ministry where God has allowed her to minister and to care and nurture women like ever before. And I am blessed and honored to be connected to such anointing. We have our Walk the Talk community feeding program that we have every first Tuesday in the state of Louisiana, the state of Alexandria. You could find yourself, you want to be a blessing to that. You can definitely reach out to us. We can give you that information. Donations. Look here, we got to get to a point where we are networking in the kingdom of God, not just by word, but by deed. It's not enough to say I'm praying for you. You got to, as they would say back in, you got to put some skin in the game, because just saying Jesus paid it all ain't going to get it. That's not going to purchase no leg quarters. That's not going to purchase no big pound bag of rice so you can do your, that's not going to get it. But the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So we're praying. I thank God for Apostle Douglas for allowing me this opportunity to share with you what God is doing through the vessels of Cedric and Emerald Williams there in the great city of Alexandria and the big state of Louisiana. That is my time. Again, if you would like to reach out to me, I am an open door policy type of guy. You can reach me at Pastor C.L. Williams, 365@gmail.com. That's Pastor C as in cat, L as in love, my last name Williams, numbers 365@gmail.com. Or if you need two men, I promise you, you can call me at area code 318-880-5704. I want to hear from you. As a matter of fact, if you're on this call on today, I can't see you, but I can definitely hear from you later on, because I want you to text me your name and your number so that we can stay connected, so that together as men, we can go and win the world for Jesus. That's my time. God bless you. God keep you. Until next time.
Amen and amen again. Listen, first off, I'm going to tell you like I told your pastor. So like I told the apostle, I told him, you were completely banned off the radio. You can't come back no more. You
don't do me like that, Doc.
Y'all come over here. You came and wrecked it. Now you done came and wrecked it. Y'all both evicted. Y'all can't come back no more. Because God comes out.
God be the glory, man.
Man, I'm telling you, people needed to hear. The men need to hear that. It is time for us not to just man up, but us to wise up. That was so needed in this hour, Doc. I'm just telling you.
I know.
Not just not just because of what I heard from you this morning, but I heard it from, not from your mouth, but I heard it from your heart. And that's the thing that God is using in this hour right now. He's using the heart of men that will come and not just be lip service. See, this is where I issue it. See, the Bible talks about just not being having lip service, not just being somebody that's just saying something, but you actually out there doing something. It changes the whole dynamics of the situation. You know, the women can go out and they can do something, but when they but they go out there and they do it well, but it's not until a man presence shows up. Because they can be sitting there with that thought in their head, but watch this here. But when the men is in the room, when the men are around and the men are in position in place, whatever they had going on, it went out the window. Because they said, you know what, I was going to try something, but I see there are some men in place. And see, this is what we need to do. We need to take that role back and be not just be present, but be present and accounted for. I love how you said your dad was there, but he wasn't a part of. Come on here. I want to be a testimony. I had a daddy, but you know what I'm saying? And I had uncles, not the best examples, but they were there, but it wasn't what I needed. God help me up in here. Right. Dr. Payne just stirred something up in me this morning. We have to understand that it goes beyond just being present. You got to be in it. God help me. You got to be an example. You got to be something that they can look up to. You can't. You got enough bad examples already out there. You got enough drug dealers. We got enough pimps. We got enough. Come on here. We got enough drug addicts. We got enough of all of that out there already. We got enough of the bad examples. Enough. Let's just say it. It's enough. We need to get some men that got a relationship not just with God, but a relationship in God.
Come on, that's it. That's it, man. That's it, Apostle. That's it, man. That's it.
I told him yesterday, I said, let me tell y'all something. It's time for us to punch out and let God punch in.
Man, don't do that, man. It's time for us to punch out
and let God punch in. See, because what's the deal? Look, we punched in and screwed stuff up so bad. We messed this whole thing up. We messed up this whole thing. We didn't turn the church into what Jesus said when he went in and turned over the tables. He said, "My house."
Yep.
If I preach that more, I'm telling you right now. If we learn that is that the house of God never was intended for us to do half the stuff that we do in there.
I grew up with
this terminology in a church.
Yes, sir.
The church is the saints' hospital.
Uh-huh.
This is the reason why we have our young men come. And they come and they look for it to be the saints' hospital. But in actuality, it turns out to be the exact same thing.
Turn away.
I'm gonna leave that alone because I felt that in the pit of my stomach. I might need to leave that alone.
No, have mercy.
Let's stir up some water. But listen, I am so thankful. I am so thankful that you came on board this morning to share with us on this morning. Let's do this. Let us pray.
Yes, sir.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this warfare that you have set among us on this morning. God, we thank you for coming in on the heels of this great man this morning, God, and as he broke down barriers, oh God, I thank you, Father, for your hand being in his back on this morning, God. You pushed him God, into that place on this morning, that he came, God, and was a destructive force for the enemy and caused the enemy's words, Lord God, God, to become words of doubt, words that will not affect, God, words that will not be seized, that will go on, God, words that the enemy has spoken, caused them to doubt who they are. Father, we thank you for the word that you gave to him, that as he spoke, God, all of those things were dismissed. Everything that the enemy thought that he was going to use to cause this man of God, God, to be in an ill effect on this morning, God, we thank you, God, for dispelling right now. And it took root, not just in their hearts, not just in their minds, but, Father, it took root in their spirit, God, that they're able to now move forward in what you called them to do, God. Build them up in their most holy faith. God, that as they walk today, God, they not walk by faith, but they walk by sight. God, that they understand God, that it is their faith now, God, that has caused them to stand up and who they are and who they are in the mighty name of Jesus. Now we've asked you to pour back into this great vessel, God, that has come, God, and shared on this morning. God, you pour into him strength. You pour into him power. You pour into him wisdom. God, to pour into him more knowledge. God, to pour in him more love for the word. God, you pour into him, God. God, the ability to stand and to withstand in the fight and let him know that, God, the work that he does, God, God, that everything that his hands touch, God, shall prosper. God, that everything that his hands shall touch shall prosper in the mighty and rich name of Jesus, and the enemy is defeated on his behalf. Everywhere that he thought that he was going to come in the gate, God, we seal him. God, we seal his home. God, we seal his family. He seal his wife. God, we seal his business. God, we seal his workplace, God. God, everywhere that my son did, everywhere that the enemy thought that he could come in, God, every door that he had access to, God, we close those doors and lock them, and we put the seal of the Lord Jesus on it, God. God, your blood shall cover the doorpost that the enemy will try, but he has to pass that faith, God, because my God, because everything that you have spoken said shall be so, shall be so.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Is the prayer that we pray.
Amen.
Bless you, God. Man, listen.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you stepped out into this. I don't know if you stepped out into this, but I hear this in my spirit. As you were ending your message, God told me to let you know that the mentorship that you have been setting up and organizing, he said, now is the time for you to step into it.
Come on, Doc. Yes, sir. Already done. It's called Faith and Faith. Come in.
Yeah. God says this is your, he said, this is where you're going to be able to pull these young men out of these places of doubt. You're going to show them what real men. Listen, this is what he's going to start doing. God help me. He said, you're going to start having favor with all these different little soup companies, K&G, and I don't know if y'all got them in y'all city, and Men's Warehouse, all these different little warehouses that have stock that they can't use no more. He said he's going to start allowing you to get those stocks and start to put these suits on these young men to teach these young men how to dress. He's going to get access to computers to where they're going to allow you to have computers, man, and you're going to even find favor with the school where they're going to give you some access to some places to where you're going to be able to sit with these young men, and you're going to be able to teach them how to fill out an application. You're going to teach them how to put a resume together. You're going to teach them how to fill out college applications, because he said this is the heart's desire for you, man. He said because you see that man sold out by Shatan did outside. This is because you were a product of that thing, and you said, I worked real hard to get here. I gotta show these young men how to do it. because my hard work paid off. So I need to show them when I work hard, when you work hard, you get something for you when you work hard. God says, he's Mr. He's the tenacity that is inside of you. He said, he's Mr. Put, he's going to allow you to start instilling that into these young men. And you're going to, man, God, he said, you're going to be almost like a father figure to them. And they're going to come back and they're going to bless you, because a lot of these young men are going to go and open up businesses. A lot of these young men are going to go up and go to basketball, become basketball scholarships. They're going to have all types of things that are going to fall into their hands because, watch this here, you have instilled in them and let them know the Shemon Sando, that everything that they've been doing right now, God says, I'm just to show you better than I can tell you. And God says, he said, not many days. He said, God. He said, not many days. These things are going to start happening. He said, watch. Watch the word. He said, watch the word take place right before your eyes. Everything. God, that you've been speaking in your own words, in your own life. He said, God said to call you because you got the audacity to speak it over your own self. He said, I'm going to make that thing come to pass on your behalf.
My God. Yes, sir. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. My God.
You ain't afraid to speak over your own self. God, help me. Right up in this section right here. He said, you ain't afraid to speak over your own stuff. God said, because you're not afraid to speak over your own stuff and you're not afraid to speak over other folks' stuff. He said, because you got the heart for it. He said, I'm supposed to make that thing come to pass.
My God. And thank you, Jesus.
He said, I'm supposed to open up doors for you.
Ooh, my God.
Doors, Doc. Doors.
My God. My God. My God. My God. My God.
Before you are open heaven.
My God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Open heaven.
Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. It is so. It is so. It is so.
Yes.
Man of God, you have no idea. Well, you do have. I'm gonna stop. We're gonna stop saying that. You have. God has literally just spoken through you, and if I screenshot the notes that I have put, it's called Manufactor, with MAN in all capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you everything you just said, you would have thought I had already sent you my notes that I, when God spoke it, I wrote it down.
Jesus.
You would have thought that by what God just spoke through you, that I literally showed you the notes as I was writing them. So I thank God for your obedience, because you have confirmed the very thing that God released at the first of this year. He said, this is what you shall do. And it was dealing with men. My wife was driving, and God started to speak. And I started typing, and we had about a two-hour drive home, and I literally typed over 1 hour and 45 minutes of that, because God was just download. He was giving me strategic instructions and detailed instructions of how it's going to be done and the purpose that it will serve.
Jesus.
Like a tailor-made suit. He gave every detail.
Jesus. Jesus.
So I thank you for your obedience on this morning, man of God. And I pray that the very next level, you don't have to seek, is already there. Because you have the heart. Yes, indeed. It's I hear the word bigger than life. Bigger than life. The impact, yes, God. The impact that which God has deposited into you has made and will continue to make a bigger than life impact. Because the people that comes into your presence, or that God sends you into their presence, the impact is going to leave an imprint that's bigger than life. But, oh, my God, because what they're facing seems in their eyes to be bigger than life. But as God has shared with us this morning, that when we shift our mindset and look at how God sees it, the man of God that I'm on the phone with right now, God will send or have them to cross your path, and that's when you'll share with them to shift their mindset and not look at it the way they see it, but see it as God sees it, which in return will make a bigger-than-life impact and leave a everlasting imprint in their lives, which will spread through them for generations to come. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That Jesus. They're not going to be able to get it from nowhere else.
God Almighty.
It's going to have to come through you, man of God. Oh, my God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your level of spiritual sensitivity will be even more keen. Because now, oh, my God, it's going to get to the point where ever so your feet tread, it's holy ground. That even in the grocery stores, yes, God, even while they're waiting to check out, God is going to allow you to check them in with him. Yes, God, because it's going to make way for the very thing that they're facing that seems to them to be bigger than life.
Mm.
It's going to lighten the weight. It's going to lighten the load for them.
God.
Now, it's going to be heavy for you until you release.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the sensitivity has to be on high, because it's going to, the sensitivity is going to be so sensitive, so you're not going to have no choice but to release it, because you're going to have to get that heavy weight off you, because you're only carrying it for them until you get it in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then God's going to make everything clear, and then he's going to release it out your mouth, because you don't have no problem releasing.
Jesus.
And because you have no issue with releasing, and your issue, and you're not having an issue to release, it's going to allow some relief. Relief, not only for you, but most of in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And it is so.
It is so. Man, I can't wait to see. I can't wait to meet you face to face, man. Like the next time we come. The next time we come to Texas, which will be next weekend, because I have to preach at Sally Rock Full Gospel Church for 8:30. So, but we normally try to make it in by that Saturday, but it's normally late. So hopefully, man, between that Sunday, maybe evening, or maybe that Monday before we leave, man, let's try to connect if all possible, man, and we'll break bread or something, you know.
Listen. We would be more than happy glad to do that. We would get with you, Doc. Man, I, my wife and myself, we love being with the saints of God. We love being with the saints of God.
Yes, sir.
It does something for us, man. We are true in who we are. You know, there's no church fluff to us whatsoever. You know, we just
that's
good
right.
down to earth. You know, we've been like that. We've been
right
like
here,
this
man.
Since we've been. It's like, you know, and I bless God. Bless God for those that have that. Bless God for them that have that. We're just built different. We just build different,
right.
You know.
Come on, man. That's
it. We just build different. We love being a part of whatever it is they got going on. But we
yeah,
also
man.
We
you
also
kingdom build.
Man, we also know who we are, God. We the same
that's
folk
right.
that can laugh and joke and kid and smile and have a good time,
right.
and still walk under the anointing. Still
that's
walk
right.
under the anointing.
Yes, sir.
I thank
yes,
God for people like you and Pastor Apostle Walker, because we built the same way. We built the same.
Yes,
that man
Amen.
Of God, like that man, we connected together, man, and it's almost like we've been knowing each other for years. And we had just met
right.
a couple of weeks. So, you know, I thank God for that, man. And that's the relationship. That's the relationships I've been asking God to bring to me. Bring relationships that are honest and true, and that when they connect with me, they see me for me. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
They see me for me. They see me as being the vessel that God is using in the time that He uses me. But He also sees me. They also see me as being a human being.
That's
And I thank God because I tell people all the time, man. I said, I'm new in this apostle thing. And I tell people, I say, man, y'all, listen. My name is Donnell. My mama named me Donnell. So
right.
I love the position of apostle. I love the position of apostle. I love it. I love the position of apostle. But I know that this is not an easy. This is not. And I'm gonna be honest with you, Doc.
I bet.
Point. Oh, God. Telling God. I didn't want to preach. Because I still had work to do.
Yes, so. Got some stuff to handle. You know what I'm talking about?
I still had stuff to do in the world. I told God, I said, listen, you messing up my time. I got things to do. He said, okay, you're going to do it willingly or unwillingly. You choose.
Right. Voluntarily or involuntarily?
So it wasn't until I was on my back, sick as a dog.
My God.
Inches from death. I prayed. I said, God, I said, whatever you got to do to get me up from here, get me up.
Yes, sir. Ooh, it's a lot in that whatever. My God.
Listen, I fell asleep,
mm-hmm.
and I had my virgin dream, and I woke up and I told my mama, I said, I think the Lord want me to preach.
Yeah.
I had to dream, Doc.
Yes, sir. Same here.
And I went to my pastor. I was having some issues with a girlfriend. I was going to go to my pastor and talk to my pastor. And I got into his office. And I got to his office to talk to him.
All right.
The words, I want to speak, came out of my mouth. And I was coming to talk to this man about a girlfriend.
The ship.
he know how to get you away.
That's right. You're sure right. You're definitely right. I know what you're saying.
Listen,
but yeah, man, we look forward to the fellowship.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We really do. Man, I'm not going to hold you up.
No, man, you good. Man. I'm enjoying it, man.
If Apostle Walker is there, tell him God bless him. Thank you for allowing us to connect together. I don't take that lightly. I don't take that lightly. I don't take the connection lightly. I actually saw a snippet of you tearing it up. On Facebook, I'm like, this brother, right? And I asked him, I said, man, do you know this Frederick Walker dude? He said, yeah, that's my son in the ministry. I said, can I get his number? So I need him to come on the broadcast. We got some things to do.
We got some work to do. Bless you.
So I thank God, man. I tell people all the time, I say, there are ordained purposes behind you meeting people.
Yes, sir.
There's ordained purposes behind you meeting people.
Oh, my God, ordained purposes. Lord Jesus.
We think it's just something that just happened. No. That's the reason why God let our past fall. You know,
and
I thank God. Sometimes it's to teach us about people.
Yes.
I'm going to leave it alone because we'll start preaching again, Doc.
You ain't lying. That's what happens when preachers get together. You know what I'm talking about? It's in our DNA. We can't help it.
And I tell people all the time, I say, sometimes it's those teachable moments.
That's right. He be dropping them nuggets, man. He be dropping them nuggets, man.
You'd be like, Doc, let me tell you, a teachable, listen, let me tell you what a teachable moment does. A teachable moment does two things to you. A teachable moment teaches who you are in God.
Yes,
and it teaches you who you are to yourself. Because some of them teachable moments, you want to take them to the barn and do in private.
Yes, sir.
What you were thinking about doing in public.
In public, yes, sir.
And you say, you know what, God?
Yes,
you know what, God? You better get him out of my prison, because if you don't get him out of my prison, look, I'm going to have prison ministry.
So, right.
I would rather walk away. Because I'm prison brother. I refuse to be Big Pookie's boyfriend behind bars.
Come on,
can't
that's right. No. No, can't do it.
We can't do it. Can't do it. I'd rather walk away from you than to be behind bars.
Right.
Fighting for my life. Trying to keep my life.
Trying to keep it.
I do enough of that right now outside the prison walls. I'm good with that.
That's right. Right.
Man,
I'm good.
Stay on the line for us. Stay on the line for us real quick, man. We're going to go to a quick musical break, man, and we thank God for you guys listening in on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I almost forgot we had a broadcast going on.
Right.
So let me go take this musical break right quick, and we'll be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Show me your face, fill up this space, my world needs you right now, my world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid, fill me with you. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face, fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape.
Bring with it a sound that points us to you right now. Erase substitutes right now. Fix what I see. And God, please fix me. Let us see you right now. My world needs you.
That's why I'm not ashamed to say.
Yeah!
the space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you.
Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life, back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me?
Listen, we're going to go into our overcomer scripture and into our overcomer's prayer on this morning. Those of you all that are listening in, you may be at a valley of decision. You may be in a place to where you want to have a relationship, not just in with God, but a relationship in God. So on this morning, I want to extend to you what we call our overcomer scripture and our overcomer's prayer. And it's simply this. It's simply this. This is Romans 10:9 is that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. There is a saving grace that is attached to your life right now. No matter where you may find yourself at, know that not only is God able, but he is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. The only thing you have to do is trust in him and depend on him and lean on him. And he will not only make a way, but he will be the way. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus. Listen, I'm just excited to come and to share with you on this morning what the Lord has done through this broadcast and through this time to come and share with you. And we hope that the words that were spoken to you on this morning cause you to understand that there is a shifting that's taking place in your life, and so that you will walk in that thing that God has ordained for your life. And the way you do that is you give your life. And it's just a simple prayer that we're going to pray with you on this morning. It's not complicated. It's not difficult at all. And that prayer just simply gives you that access to him. And you say, okay, God, here I am. So we're going to pray that prayer, and we're going to introduce one more time that Romans 10:9 into your life. And when we introduce that Romans 10:9, what we want you to do, we want you to go ahead on and just lift your hands, lift your hearts, wherever you are. If you can't lift your hands, just lift your hearts and just say, okay, God, I'm here. I'm here, Lord, I'm here. And you just go ahead on and receive him right there where you are. Amen? So let us pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share with these, your people, the opportunity, God, to give their lives to you. God, we pray today, God, that your not only did your word take place, but your mentality and mindset take place in them today. God, that whatever the enemy may try and be trying to use in their life, God, that they are now released in the place where they need to be used in the mighty and rich name of Jesus. God, we thank you in advance, God, for them giving their lives right now, God. God, they are now standing in the place of Romans 10 and 9, where they have confessed with their mouth and believe in their hearts that you were raised from the dead, and they are now safe. They are now kept by you in the mighty and rich and infallible name of Jesus, do we pray. And the body of Christ says, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. We thank you. We're excited about what God has to share with you. We're excited about what God has shared in you on today, and we thank God for you. God bless you. We look forward to you guys joining us again on the Worldwide Gospel Fishing Network. Remember, we have our Wednesday, Thursday, which will be on this coming Thursday. Join us. Join us. Make sure that you join us. Make sure that you join us for our Wednesday, Thursday. Our pastor, Miller and Pastor Sheena Duncan. That is her baby. You guys, join her. We have some exciting guests, some powerful women of God that come on and share on the broadcast. So we thank God for that opportunity. We thank God for that chance. We thank God for that door that is open for you guys to receive of her, the ministries that she has for you guys. We thank God for it. God bless you guys. You have a fantastic day. And we pray that the rest of your days are the best of your day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? How could I live without you? I could not see. Lord, what would I do in life, and where would I go? Oh my, how would I handle things, all that I know? I know again, Lord, I know, I know so sure and so sure. You know my name, Lord, from the
Yeah.
heart, everybody, to say, gotta mean it from your heart.
I need you.
Say you gotta mean it. Say you gotta mean it.
I need you.
Oh, yes, I do.
I need you.
Just can't make it without it. Can't make it without
it. I need you.
Everybody sing. Everybody sing. Everybody sing. Can't make it without you.
I need you.
Hey. Not another day, not another moment.